Hello, everyone, and welcome to the One Goal US Soccer Podcast. I do hope everyone had a happy new year. Sorry we missed you last week. Obviously, New Year's and the holidays, we decided to take a quick break, but we are back to talk all things US soccer. Of course, there is more important news in the world today. Very busy day, but we hope that everyone can take a break from that for the time being and enjoy some US soccer talk. So without further ado, we'll start how we always start. George, how are we doing today?
Like you said, there's a lot of things going on, but let's at least have something we can enjoy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's United States news, but we're here to talk about U.S. soccer news, which they're very close, but also very different. So we'll focus on what we know, and we'll talk about U.S. soccer. In terms of topical news we can touch on, I'll stop there real quick. I'm doing well myself. I think actually right now, you might be the two cleanest podcasters in the world before we recorded. George had to shower, and then I showered. So I think we are the two cleanest podcasters in the world. Is that correct, you think?
I mean, hey, if somebody wants to come check us, they can come check us. But I say just put us in the record book right now.
Yeah, we are officially the cleanest podcasters on the planet right now. By the time you guys listen to this tomorrow, Thursday, we might not be anymore. But for the time being, we're squeaky clean. But again, in terms of topical news, we will get to the camp. We'll talk all things U.S. soccer as always. But Weston McKennie back at it again, scoring today against AC Milan. Typical. Another day, another dollar. Sergiño Dest at Barcelona keeps locking down the starting gig. He's almost at 1,000 minutes. Casual. And we can also talk about Zach Steffen, the Man City game versus Chelsea over the weekend. He got his first Premier League start. Obviously, that's important. Also, we can talk about Nick Tadagui. Is that how you pronounce it? Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's Tadagui.
Tadagui. Unfortunately, he got released by Schalke. Matthew Hoppe also got a start for Schalke over the weekend. So hopefully Nick can find his footing soon. We wish him nothing but the best. But let's talk Zach Steffen real quick. I know, George, you're a big Man United fan. You watched that Man City and Man United game today, Wednesday. So what do you think about Zach Steffen?
Yeah, I think he only really had to make one real save. It was on Bruno Fernandes. It was a decent save, one that, you know, I've seen him make multiple times. I expect him to make. But other than that, he didn't really get trouble too much. And the only thing I have to say is when the ball's put at his feet, he looked comfortable. And I actually would go back to the Chelsea game that he played. And there's one pass that he made. It was to Rodri. He played a ball to Rodri when Rodri had pressure on his back. Inside, hit pretty much his own 6-yard box, and Rodri takes a one-touch pass, plays it out, Man City get out of pressure. And it reminded me of that same exact pass he made to Tyler Adams against Wales, and we got a little bit of pressure, and people were saying, what is Zach Steffen doing? He's about with his feet. And I remember I made a comment on the next podcast we had that when he's at Man City, he has Rodri in that position, and it's a one-time pass, and couple months later, we see it in a game. So I just thought that was interesting. Clearly, he's getting better with his feet, and it was a solid day for him.
Look, George, I get it. I know you're really good at this, all right? I'll give you the credit. I want to just give it to you right there. Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. We can talk about Leon Flach as well. I know you were on that early as well. He had a banger over the weekend. If you haven't seen that, check that video. But George knows what he's doing. We'll just leave that as is. But I'm curious also, what were your thoughts on his like long ball distribution? Because that's something I've looked at in the past, and he still sometimes like floats them out there. Do you think that he was a little bit crisper in that respect today?
I think he got the job done. And the thing about Man City is that their usual goalkeeper is Ederson, who's arguably the best with his feet in the world. So obviously he's not going to be Ederson, but there was never a situation where you kind of put your hand on your head and you thought to yourself, we need Ederson back, or this guy's not up to it. So far in two games, he's looked up to be the Man City goalie. And when realistically, when it comes to actual goalkeeping, on a team like Man City, you're not always going to have that much to do. So the only way you can really show yourself is that you can be a part of the possession, because Ederson is always a part of Man City's possession. So if a goalie comes in and they're not good with their feet, it's going to be evident that they're the backup. And so far, I haven't seen that from Zach Steffen in two games, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's all things considered really good for him. Happy for him to get the playing time. I do want to wish a feel better to Ederson, obviously dealing with COVID. So hopefully he does feel better soon. We like to see Zach Steffen play, but health of all players is the most important thing. Transfer rumor-wise, we can talk about that as well. We have the Genk Mark McKenzie deal looking like it's done, which is great. He had the Celtic rumors early. We have Brendan Aaronson, Salzburg officially. Jesse Marsh actually picked him up at the airport, so that's pretty cool. And then we still have no Brian Reynolds answer. I know last time we talked, you said hopefully we'll have an answer by the next time we talk, and hopefully by the next time we talk, we'll finally have an answer. But he'll be with the U23s, so I think that's a pretty perfect transition to talking about the U23s and the senior team roster that came out this week. It was definitely kind of interesting how it worked, because there was 12 names that came out for the senior roster. We can talk about that. We'll go through this second here. And then there was a big U23 contingent that came out after that. And so it's kind of a big group joint roster. But it's really interesting because you have the 12 guys who are like the senior team, and then a bunch of U23 guys who have played with the senior team before. But it's just a good mix of groups. So I think without further ado, we can kind of break down that roster. And in terms of the senior team, let's first just read off those names and then I'll get your initial thoughts. But we'll go with the goalkeepers, Sean Johnson, Matt Turner, Tristan Blackman, defender, Aaron Long, Walker Zimmerman. And then we go to the midfielders, Kellen Acosta, Sebastian Legette, Christian Roldan. And then we go to forwards. We have Josie Altidore, Paul Areola, Jordan Morris, and then Chris Mueller rounds out that group. So without going into the U23s yet, give me your initial thoughts on that group.
I think this group is pretty standard. I'd say there's some names that you can think maybe they could have been there, but I think these are, when you look at the MLS contingent of U.S. national team players, these are the guys who could figure on a full-strength roster. I'd say, obviously, Darlington Nagbe, he's still not really part of the picture. Clearly, this means that he hasn't put his name back in there. Maybe Bill Hamid feels a little bit hard done by, given that he started the game in December. And I'd say the only real big omission is Jossie Zardes. He's the only person omitted that I think would be on a full strength lineup. And I would guess he's only not there because his team made the MLS finals. It's been a long season. He probably wasn't able to see his family a lot. And, you know, for somebody who's probably pretty secure, I would say one of the three forward spots for the national team, maybe he didn't need to necessarily come to this camp, and him and Berhalter had that agreement.
Yeah, so per a U.S. soccer spokesperson, actually, he went undergone a like minor medical procedure in the offseason, so he won't be fit enough for camp. But I think it's fine, all things considered. You know, what can you do? It's not the end of the world. But are you happy about Josie Altidore being back? I know for me, I posted this thing on Twitter. I said, he's the guy, we'll discuss it on the podcast. And you said retweet. So I think we're on the same page that if you're going to put the top three strikers right now, Josie Altidore is still in that group. Are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I've probably said on the podcast maybe at least for 4 or 5 episodes, but right now the three strikers for the U.S. national team are Josie Altidore, Josh Sargent, and Jossie Zardes. All three of them give something a little bit different, and I think that's why they're the perfect three. And I know obviously one goal tweeted out something, you know, kind of defending Josie, but also saying that they weren't saying she'd be on a best 23-man roster. You and I kind of disagree with that saying. I think he is should be on the best U23 roster. And I've also seen one goal say that it should be Daryl Deke on the best U23 roster. But I think this is a perfect camp. We're going to get both of them in there. And for, you know, however long they're in camp, we will see who is better. We will see whether Josie Altidore still has the legs, because obviously we want Daryl Deke to be great. Everybody wants him to be amazing. But Josie Altidore is a top active scorer in U.S. national team history. And he's not retired yet. He's not done yet. He's still there to stake his claim. So I think that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting talking about kind of guys who are more veterans. We don't see a Michael Bradley here, and I think that kind of might be the wrap on his national team career, unfortunately. I do want to say that it was an incredible national team career. He does get a lot of scrutiny as one of the guys who kind of feels the burden of the lost generation, and understandably so, but at the same time, I do want to pay our respects to Michael Bradley. I'm also happy for Kellen Acosta making it back. Are you surprised at all about the Tristan Blackman inclusion?
Yeah, I think I'm very happy about the Tristan Blackman inclusion, because I think maybe on our first or second episode, I said that there's so many right backs in MLS who can have amazing careers, but never get called up. I think I brought up like Ramon Gaddis, Zarek Valentin, who's actually in the Puerto Rico national team camp. Yeah, Brandon Bai, who's had a couple good seasons found now for New England Revolution. So right back is kind of the position where somebody can play well for so many seasons and not get a look for the national team. And so the fact that Tristan Blackman is here is incredible. He can also play a little bit of center back, but I don't think he's going to factor in at center back. And he put in some good performances in the CONCACAF Champions League against a couple different tough Mexican oppositions. So he's a tough player, and he's a guy who, you know, should go in there and, you know, kind of see how he stands and how he compares.
I'm sorry to do this right now, but I want to steal one of your points. Shout out to the fellow Matt Turner. What do you think about Matt Turner being in his first national team camp?
I think he was in the camp for the Costa Rica game. I don't think he played those.
So. Oh, you're right. My fault.
But I think this is just, we got to see actually Matt Turner play for the national team. I think unless something crazy happens, he will be the starter in the game that does happen, even though it hasn't been announced yet. But, you know, it's only become a meme on Twitter, you know, that Matt Turner is better than Zach Steffen. Like, no matter what the topic is, somehow somebody puts in that a Matt Turner joke. So it's just like, let's see it. Let's see the guy who some people truly think should be the starter for the national team. It's not a lot of times somebody with zero caps, you know, almost has such a fandom and a cult status. And, you know, I've met Matt Turner. I think he's a phenomenal guy. And so I'm rooting for him, and I just want him to really put his best foot forward. So I'm excited to see that happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think no such thing as bad competition at this point. Just see what you can do. I mean, let's move on to the U23s. And again, I want to stress that this is a joint camp. So obviously only 12 guys on the senior team, but there's a big group here. So let's talk about the big group, and then we'll break it all down together, separate it, all that good stuff. But let's start with the goalkeepers. JT Marcinkowski, David Ochoa, and Brady Scott for the goalkeepers. Newly Austin FC Brady Scott, I'll add that. And then for our defenders, we have Julian Araujo, George Bello, Chris Gloucester, Aaron Herrera, Abubakar Keita, Henry Kessler, Mauricio Pineda, Brian Reynolds. Very interesting that he got called in. And that looks like Miles Robinson and then Sam Vines round out the defenders. And then we go to the midfield where Asani Dotson, Brian Keo, Andres Pereira, who's back again, Tanner Tessman, Eric Williamson, Jackson Ewell. And then the forward position, we have Cade Cowell, the man child, Daryl DK, as you mentioned before, Jeremy Obobese, Jesus Ferreira, John Lewis, our boy, Benny Michel, first time, welcome, and Jordi Mihaljevic. So what do you think about that group?
For the U23s, I think it's a lot of familiar faces, guys who've been in the U.S. national team pool before, a lot of guys who've been played for youth national teams in the past, but also some new faces that I'm really excited to see. So some of the fresh names, I think some of the guys who I'm very excited to see, Henry Kessler had a great rookie season for New England Revolution. Henry and I actually played for rival teams in Connecticut. I played for Oakwood. He played for Beachside.
So was he good?
He was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. The one thing I will say is I remember he's a year older than me, but I remember I played against him once, and I was playing right midfield. He was playing left center back, and I remember I pressured him, and so onto his left foot, and I was like, "All right, like, what are you gonna do?" And he played a 50-yard switch with his left foot. And so I don't really remember anything else he did that game, but probably 30 seconds in, I was like, okay, maybe this guy's actually kind of good. So really happy for him, his first national team call-up, and, you know, hopefully he can, you know, put his best foot forward. Also excited to see Cade Cowell. You know, he hadn't even been called to the U-20s. He's a 2003, so he's eligible for the U-20 World Cup 2 years from now. So he's got a long way to go, but like you said, he's a man child. He's athletic. He's what people say when they're like, what if our best athletes play soccer? And, you know, there's some picture of him where he just looks absolutely ripped. And it's just like, how's this kid just turned 17 years old? So I'm excited to see Cade Cowell. And I'd also say Benji Michel too. I think he was outshined a little bit by Chris Mueller. Obviously Chris Mueller has not played for the national team, score a couple goals. So I'm really excited to see Benji Michel come in and play. He scored a couple big goals for Orlando City, did a couple nice celebrations with those flips. So I'm excited to see him come in.
Yeah, so for someone who doesn't know much about Benji Michel, how would you describe his playing style? Like, what can he bring to the table?
I think he's a player who I'm honestly not sure whether he would be best as a striker or on the wing, but he did well playing off of Daryl DK. He did well playing off Nani. He did well playing off of Chris Mueller. He saw what those players had best to offer, and what his strength was he would usually come in games late and he would impact them. He would leave the game with the goal after he came in. So kind of like how we've seen Jonathan Lewis in the past come as a super sub, maybe that turns into Benji Michel's role for the U23s.
Well, that's a good point. I think that's good, people who don't know much about him. I know me personally, he's not someone I really know much about. So thank you. I appreciate that for myself. But let's talk about some other players on this roster. Obviously, Chris Gloucester is an interesting name. One, because we haven't seen him play at all for PSV, and it came out this week that he's one of the players who Chung PSV have told that it's time for him to go. His time with them has ended. So unfortunately, maybe Chris Gloucester's European experience has ended. Hopefully he can find his footing somewhere. I do want to note that I think the New York Red Bulls have his homegrown rights, so be on the lookout for that. But what are your thoughts on, you know, Chris Gloucester? Is he going to come in and, you know, go against George Bello for that left-back spot? Or are we going to see something else happen? Like, is he just someone that – is it a helpful name to call him in, or is this a deserving call, if you think?
Yeah, first thing I'll say of Chris Glosser, it's actually funny that we're talking about him and Henry Kessler, because he's another guy who I remember playing against when he played for Red Bulls. And at 14 years old, I remember him hitting a 50-yard crossfield ball. And I remember thinking, oh, that's why that kid's on the national team. So I just find it funny that the two guys who I saw hit 50-yard left foot crossfield balls are in the same camp. But I'd say for Chris Glosser, you know, he's trying to put his name back out there. He hasn't played a lot of, you know, meaningful competitive soccer for a little bit now. And the left back pool for the U23s is actually pretty deep. Obviously, we're still trying to find someone who can come and make an immediate impact for the national team. But you have to remember, Anthony Robinson is still eligible for the U23s. And then you have three guys in this camp who are all battling out. You have Chris Glosser, you have Sam Vines, who's already made his national team debut, and you have George Bello, who had a sneakily solid season for a bad Atlanta United team. So I think not only is this good for Chris Glosser to stake his claim for the U23s, but just to get out there in front of MLS teams. And if it's the Red Bulls who have his rights, they have his rights. Or maybe he puts together a good camp and, you know, there's a team that's going to be trading for him. So I think it's a big camp for him, not just for country, but for club as well.
Yeah, I think for me, one thing I'm excited to look at is just seeing Ryan Reynolds play. I mean, obviously, we have the transfer saga. We're not sure where that's going to end up. Hopefully, he doesn't at Juventus, but it's getting messy. I just want to see these guys play. And I think, you know, when there's a lot of things going on off the field, same can be said with Chris Glosser. It's just nice to have an option to play and kind of forget about everything. You know what I mean? So I think it would be nice to see Ryan Reynolds and also Tanner Tessman. It really all of the FC Dallas guys. So I think it'll just be cool to see these guys who a lot of them had really strong MLS seasons kind of broke through to some degree. And I think they are all deserving of a call. What about any guys who kind of missed out?
Yeah, I'd say the main person I'm very shocked missed out was Justin Glad. He's the definition of a national team veteran. He's been some multiple January camps for the full nationals team, still hasn't made his debut. Been pretty much starting in MLS since he was 18 years old. So I'm surprised to see him. And it's interesting that Abubakar Keita was put there instead of Justin Glad. Abubakar Keita, a guy who is another late bloomer to the national team, played 1 year at Virginia, has been a homegrown for a couple years now at Columbus Crew, a spot starter, and obviously started at the U20 World Cup due to Mark McKenzie's injuries and was a little bit shaky, but you could see some good parts to his game. But I think probably the most important thing about Abubakar Keita is he is left-footed. The same way John Brooks is so important as a lefty for the full national team, he's pretty much probably the only left-footed center back I'd say in the pool. You have guys like Carter Vickers, Miles Robinson, obviously Eric Palmer Brown, who's been on this podcast. They're all right-footed, so they probably want to bring in Abubakar Keita, left-footed center back, and say, hey, if you can show this dimension that we don't have, you can have a spot on the team, because that's crucial for us.
Yeah, that's a good call. I do want to also shout out Tim Ream, who's left-footed, I believe, right? Left-footed?
Yes. I was talking about U23s.
Oh, okay, talking about U23s, but I will add...
Tim Ream is very, very far off for
U23s. That is true, But I will add this. There is a U23 player eligible who's currently Dutch eligible as well, Kiek Pierre. He's a left-footed center back playing for FC 20 on loan from Ajax. So I wrote about him this week in the most important dual nats that could help the USMNT right now. So you talk about the left-sided center back profile. I think he's someone that would fit that as well. But obviously, we're not there yet with him. But I do want to plug my article coming out this week about the most important dual nats. But I guess we can also talk about other dual nats that are in this camp. Andres Preya, he's back. What does that mean?
It means that they're high on him. They really like him. They really want to convince him. And I think that that's great. Obviously, we saw Efrain Alvarez in the last camp. He's not here this time. We saw Ayo Akinola now going to Canada after a month in the U.S. So this is us saying, like, hey, Andres Pereira, like, we're very high on you. And I think it's important to know, obviously, not a lot of people know about him. I watched a lot of Orlando City play, and I'll be completely honest, he didn't necessarily shine for me. But this is a guy who comes from a high pedigree, has started a U17 and a U20 World Cup for Colombia. So he's a guy who knows big games. He knows important moments. And I think the more players we have like that, the better. If we can take a player from Colombia, that's amazing. And if he can develop into a backup for Tyler Adams, that's great. We'll see him and Jackson Yule go head-to-head for U23s. And who knows, maybe at some point this week, next week, or in the future, he'll switch over to us.
Yeah, so he did actually say in an American Soccer Now article that the decision will be coming soon. I can't help but think being in this camp and really going against Jackson Newell is a good indication of like where he's actually at in terms of the backup six role. Because also Johnny Cardoso is there, and I can't imagine that we're taking more than two players at the back at the six. So one of those guys or two of those guys is going to get snubbed. So if you're going to follow that one-time switch, it's got to be worth it. So I think it's like this will be the last time for him to show us and us to show him, okay, here's what you can do. Here's what we can do for you. And let's figure out a way to either make this work or are you going to go with Colombia? So I think, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm happy to have him back, and that can't be a bad thing to have him back. I know we talked about guys that missed out. Talking about guys at that sixth position, you think James Sands isn't healthy or it's one of those things?
Yeah, I think for sure James Sands isn't healthy. Had, I believe it was a foot injury. Wasn't able to come back for the CONCACAF Champions League for NYCFC. So probably wouldn't make sense to rush him to a national team camp. I still think James Sands is a criminally underrated player in this league. And I think the sale or the trade rather of Alex Ring to Austin is only going to make him a more important player for NYCFC. So maybe if he starts for them, gets, you know, thousands of minutes, maybe puts together an all-star season, you know, sometimes those defensive midfielders do get the all-star shouts, then he'll finally get his flowers and his European move. But I think for a while now, James Sands has been a criminally underrated player for both club and country.
Yeah, I agree. Talking about like underrated players who are, I guess, almost properly rated at this point, Eric Williamson had a really strong season for Portland. I'm really excited just to watch who plays in the midfield. I wish we could just have a live stream of all the training, because there's just Brian Keo, who, you know, is with the Wolfsburg first team for a little bit, but no longer has first team football or youth football for him because the youth Bundesliga shut down for the time being. I'm excited to see him back in there. I just want to see these guys who everyone's really talked about to some degree, whether they can do it or whether they can't, but this is really our first opportunity to see what they can offer to the national team. So I'm really excited for everything that can happen. I love just when there's a game because you just get to evaluate something and that gives you the opportunity to overreact, to underreact, but just to see guys on the field. Like, is there anything better than that?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. I think with all these young guys, albeit it's a U23 camp, but in the back of their minds, they're all thinking, I know it's a U23 camp, we're looking towards the Olympics, but there's only 12 guys who are on the senior team. There's going to be debuts. So if you're Brian Keo, who was there last January and February against Costa Rica, but didn't get on the field, you want to get on the field. If you're Tanner Tessman, you want to make your debut. Eric Williamson, for a while you were a forgotten man, you want to make your debut. You just don't want to be in the U23 camp. You're thinking, hey, why not get my first national team cap to my name? So I think all those guys are in the mix. And I forgot to mention earlier, but we don't see Cole Bassett here, which is a little bit interesting. Obviously, we had Eric Williamson, who wasn't in December camp, but then Cole Bassett didn't make his debut though. So I don't know if it's necessarily one guy for the other, but I think it's interesting for somebody who was with the full national team not to make a technically U23 camp.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like transfer news related, because there's obviously been links to him with Nantes, and there's been Freiburg and has also been involved. So maybe there's something to that, or maybe he just needs a rest. I'm not exactly sure. I could even argue that Aiden Morris, after his really strong performance in the MLS Cup final, deserves a chance in the midfield for the U23s. But it's fine. You know, this is just one camp. There's going to be a couple more. And I think at the end of the day, it's just important to get guys in, like I mentioned before. But let's talk kind of about the battles that are at this camp. Obviously, the first one I think that comes to mind is the U23 goalie battle. So let's break that down. Who's the guy you're looking at that can maybe stake their claim?
U23 goalie battle is actually very interesting for me. And obviously, the veteran here is JT Marcinkowski. He's like guys I mentioned before, he is a veteran of the U.S. national team, been playing youth national team since he was pretty much in diapers. Unfortunately, he was the backup to Jonathan Klinsmann at the U20 World Cup he did go to, and wasn't really a starter for San Jose until late in the year. So it's good to see him in the camp. He was there in December. So he should be the guy to be the starter. You know, you look at Jonathan Klinsmann, who still really didn't get his feet in for LA Galaxy. And then Matt Fries, another guy who hasn't been a starter for Philadelphia Union, but has been in camps in the past. Those are kind of the older options. And then on the younger side, you have Brady Scott, another guy who's been on national teams for a while, been to two U20 World Cups, and pretty much split the last one with David Ochoa. So I think David Ochoa is probably the guy most U.S. soccer fans would like, but he hasn't really got his shot for whatever reason, Real Salt Lake. He was number one, as in like the number one this year after Nickramanda retired. So a lot of people thought, oh, maybe that means he'll start. But we saw Zach Math and even Andrew Putna starting the majority of games for them. So hopefully he becomes the starter this year. Then you have Brady Scott, who was in Germany for a while, who was in Nashville for literally 2 seconds, and is now at Austin FC, where with three goalies on the roster, being him, Brad Stuver, and Andrew Tarbell, has a shot to become an MLS starter. So I think the spot is up for grabs. The fact that none of the three guys are starters or sure starters for their club team right now is a little bit concerning. So pretty much whoever becomes a starter for their team has the best shot at starting at any qualifying.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. Do you think it's a little bit weird that CJ Dos Santos wasn't called in? Obviously, he was in the last camp for the full men's national team. Maybe he was a training camp body at that point, but do you think it's a little weird he wasn't invited for the U23s?
I would assume that he's not in this camp because he's actually needed back at Benfica. He's another guy who's been in Benfica for a long time, but has never really been the starter at whatever age group he's played for. So the fact that he was even allowed to go to the last camp probably means that they didn't need him at that time. I'm not too familiar with the youth leagues in Portugal, but this isn't a time where they're not in playing. They're playing games, they're training. So I guess that just means they need him at this time.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think we can also talk about for the senior team. Obviously, if you look at the senior team in terms of the guys who are on the roster, there's no clear left back. So what about the left back battle? Obviously, there's a bunch of guys on the U23 side, Gloucester, Bello, obviously Sam Vines as well. You think one of those guys will step forward and say, I'm actually ready for the senior team? Or is this, we're still trying to figure that out?
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's left back is a complete question mark for the national team right now. Obviously, Anthony Robinson divides opinion with fans. We have Serginho Dest, who can't play a left back. But we have a lot of people who I think, you know, need to put that foot forward and say, I can play left back at a high level. So unless we get a reprise of his youth national team days playing as a right-footed left back with Kellen Acosta, it will be one of those three guys playing left back. So it's a big camp for them. In the defensive drills, they got to do their best. In crossing drills, they got to do their best because one of them will get to start. And if it's Gloucester or Bello, they'll be making their debut.
Do you have a pick for which one you think will be the starter? I think it'll be Sam Vines personally, just because you kind of know what you're getting. But I like the upside of also Gloucester and Bello. So what do you think?
I would put my money on Sam Vines to start, but I do think right now George Bello probably has a better shot than Chris Gloucester. So I'd say if Greg Berhalter is going with who he knows, who he's seen multiple times up close, it's Sam Vines. And if he wants to see a guy just, you know, give another chance, it'll be George Bello. So if I had to make a prediction of how left back would go in any game, it would be Sam Vines starting and then George Bello coming in the same way Marco Farfan did last game.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. Let's do a little fun thing here. You put this at the bottom of our show notes, breaking down who would win this matchup. So I can break it down. If you want to read the rosters, I'll let you do that. Since it's your idea. Do you want to go first and say that?
Yeah, so, you know, I was just looking through initially when the full national team roster came out and it was only 12 guys, two goalies. I was like, oh, that's a starting 11. So I decided it would be fun if we just did a little fun game of 11v11 vets versus, you know, young guys. So the way I lined up the vets, we got Matt Turner in goal. Unfortunately, I did have to put Paul Arriola at right back. I thought about doing a back three, but this just worked out better. Paul Arriola right back, Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman at center back, Tristan Blackman at left back. We got Christian Roldan and Kellen Acosta holding it down in the middle. Jordan Morris and Chris Mueller on the wings. Sebastian Legette at the 10. Jules Altidore up top. So obviously those are 11 guys. They kind of picked themselves. And it was a little harder kind of formulating a U23 lineup. But what I decided to go with was JT Marcinkowski in goal. Brian Reynolds at right back. Miles Robinson at center back with Henry Kessler. Sam Vines at left back. And rather than using a number 10, we kind of have Jackson Yuhl, Tanner Tesman, and Eric Williamson all can attack, all can defend. Maybe have Jackson Yuhl as the pivot. And then up top, on the wing, we have Georgi Mihailovic, who has played on the wing mostly this season. It looks like that is where he'll be playing for the national team. We have Daryl DK up top, and then Jeremy Abobise is going to also have to play on the wing. And kind of when making this, another thing I realized that
you should have probably put John Lewis on the wing.
I put Jeremy Abobise because he got more reps in this season. He put together another phenomenal season, and
But John Lewis came on the pod.
I know he did, and John Lewis is gonna kill me. He probably has my number too, but yeah, I looked at the seasons, and that was the thing I was actually gonna say. In terms of pure wingers, the only pure wingers on this roster are John Lewis and Cade Cowell. Cade Cowell is still too young to start for this team for me. He'll be a power sub off the bench. And John Lewis, I really wanted to start him. But Jeremy Obowiese has been grinding for a long time now. And I just had to give it to him.
That's fair. I like the respect call. But John, if you're listening, I think I would put you in over Jeremy Obowiese. Not because you're better or worse, but I think just you're a true winger. So I'm going to let you play your true position. I would also argue that I think there's some guys on the bench for the U23 team that would be helpful for the senior team. That's why they're having the joint camp after all. But it's a little unfair to have Pau Ariola play right back. Or is that left back? Right back?
Right back. I assume since Tristan Blackman's at right back, he can play left back. Like I said, I really thought about doing the back three. I really thought about it. But then I was like, no, I'm sorry, Paul. I know you can play right back. And I know you're the guy who's a team first player. So, you know, you'll play right back and you'll try your best to lock down a Obowiese.
No, that's a fair call. I think, you know, Pau Ariola is the type of guy where no matter where you play him, if you had to play him in goal, I think he would even give his best. So I think that's a fair call. But who do you think wins?
I think I love the youthfulness of the U23s, but the older guys take this one. Even with Pau Ariola right back and Tristan Blackman at left back, they are solid all around. You have a proven goal scorer in Josie Altidore. You have guys at the attack and midfield positions who are all dangerous in MLS this year in Morris Legette and Chris Mueller. You have Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman who are very solid. And I just don't think the U23s have enough firepower. You look up top, Georgi Mihailovic is more of a creator. Daryl DK is a big guy, but Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman are also big guys. And even in the midfield, there's no true creator. You know, Jackson Yule, Tanner Tessman, and Eric Williamson are all sixes and eights. There's no real true number 10. So maybe you ask Jesus Ferreira to come in and create. Jonathan Lewis, like we've said, Cade Cowell, you know, come in and beast it up. So, but just at the end of the day, I think even if the U23s are able to make full changes and the older guys got to play the same lineup for 90 minutes, I still think they take it.
I think it's pretty close. I mean, I think you're right about in terms of the attacking power, the senior team definitely has the advantage. But I don't know. I think about, you know, you have Brian Reynolds on the overlap and Sam Vines as well. I think that might be able to make up for some of the loss in attacking power. And I don't know, no disrespect to Pau Ariola, but Juventus possibly bound Brian Reynolds on the overlap. I don't know if he's really prepared for that.
Yeah, I think that's why I said the only question marks for the full team would be the outside backs. I think Christian Blackman probably holds his own. Pau Ariola, obviously, he's not a defender first. But, you know, he's a tough guy. So, yes, on paper, that might look like a problem, but I still think I take them.
I think I'll give it to you. Say they play 10 games. I think the senior team probably wins like 6 or 7. Does that sound right?
No, we're talking one game. We don't have time in this camp for 10 games. We're talking one game. We're talking hard 90-minute game.
What about like 3 games? Imagine there's three games.
No, we're talking one hard, because if they play 3 games, they're going to be tired. They're going to be bruised up. We're talking one hard game, you know, second day of camp. Greg Berhalter says, okay, guys, welcome to the dungeon. Go after it.
All right, fine. I'll give it to you just because I think the veterans would kind of just scare the crap out of the U23s. Not because they can't handle it, but I think just like Josie Altidore could just wreak havoc on Miles Robinson and Henry Kessler. So I think I'll give it to you. It's going to be a close game. What would the final score be, you think?
The final score, I would go for 3-1.
That's bold, man.
3-1. I am going 3-1. Like I'm saying, there's just too much experience on that team for me. Josie Altidore has been doing it for a while. Jordan Morris was an MVP candidate. Sebastian Legette is a full player with the full 23-man roster. Chris Mueller had a great season. And I think the spine of that team, Christian Roldan and Colin Acosta, two absolute veterans of guys, even though they're only 25 years old. And then Aaron Long and Walker Zimmerman, who are right in the conversation to start for the full team. So I think just that spine and that strength and composure they have. And then on top of that, Matt Turner's a goalie who's very good at shot stopping. So I think they take it.
All right, I will give it to you, but I don't know if I'll give it to you 3-1. But I think, you know, maybe we'll see some practice footage. And if they play this game, Greg Berhalter, just please, for the sake of me and George's argument, play this game so we can have our answer, and then we can debate about who is right. So I think, without further ado, that can wrap up this edition of the One Goal U.S. Soccer podcast. I don't know if, George, you have any final thoughts, but this is really fun. I enjoyed talking about hypothetical lineups. I enjoyed breaking down the roster and talking all things U.S. soccer, as always. Anything else you want to add?
I love U.S. soccer content. Whenever a roster drops, it absolutely, you know, fuels me. I love it. So let's hope we get an opponent soon, and let's rock.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited. I'm happy to keep talking about it, and I'm excited to keep being excited, if that makes sense. But without further ado, we can wrap up this edition of the One Goal U.S. Soccer podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. I'm not sure there's anything else to say, but thanks so much for listening.